Oh, good morning, brothers and sisters, in the Lord Jesus Christ and young friends. It's good to be here in the Bay of Plenty again. And I bring with me the eternal greetings of the Hastings Ecclesia to you all and to brother and sisters visiting here. So we gather here to remember our absent Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. We look for the day of his coming. Now the exhortation theme is taken from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. The whole armour of God. We have before us this morning the concept of what it means to be a soldier of Christ. We've read about the armour of God, this incredible specimen of a soldier who has got all these different parts of armour on. We hear about the sword that he has. Some say, here is one prepared to go into battle and slay the wicked. But that is not the picture before us. There is something very unusual about this soldier. There is nothing about him that is about offence. Even the sword isn't the kind of sword you would go into battle with. It's not the large sword. This is a small sword, more like a dagger. This is a man who is completely covered with armour. He's not designed to fight. He's designed to be completely prepared for the battle. This is all about defence. It is a humble servant who is fully clothed with humility. It's the picture of a soldier who isn't defined by his own physical prowess or the ability to handle swords. It's a soldier whose only resource is that of a fortified mind. It is all about how we are able to protect ourselves from sin and to have minds that are fortified by this armour. As we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's about enduring hardness. It's not about inflicting hardness, but is rather being able to suffer as the Lord suffered and doing it with patience. These words of Paul in Ephesians tells us how we can survive in the world around us. This invisible poison that creeps into our thinking if we are not careful, and also live up to the lofty principles enumerated in this letter to the Ephesians and be holy people. Brothers and sisters, that is the challenge for each one of us today. More than ever, we are under attack. There is very little escape. Advertisements, media, entertainment. It is hard for us not to be influenced by it. The humanistic way of thinking, with the denial of divine standards. How can I protect myself from this? How can I make sure that poisonous gas of the world doesn't penetrate into my thinking. We need first to recognize that we are in a life and death battle. If we forget that, it is no use for us to put on the armor. We wouldn't put on the armor if we didn't think there was any threat to us. Hot, heavy. We put the armor on because we know there is a threat to our life. We are in a life and death battle. And the Lord wants us to see life the way it really is. Our life is a battlefield. Fiery darts are coming. And it is a very dangerous place. And if we do not view the world around us as being like this, and we are not wearing our armor, all of our armor, then those fiery darts are going to penetrate. They are going to infect us. If we leave off one part of our armor, that's where the fiery dart will penetrate. We put ourselves at risk. If we feel cozy with the world around us, if we prefer the things of the world, it is a sign we are already losing the battle. Firstly, we need to recognize we are in a life and death battle. And secondly, we have to be armed. The absence of an armor to protect our thinking means that we will have certain death on the battlefield. That soon the thinking of the world will be our thinking, and we will find a way to compromise our thinking. As we had read to us this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 11, our daily reading for today, "Dearly beloved," the apostle says, "dearly beloved, I beseech you, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Why? Because they war against the soul. That's what happens when we allow the thinking of the world into our life. We release a battle into our minds, a war against the thinking of the Spirit. There is a war going on, an infection, so to speak, and we are weakened because of it. The good news is the Lord will heal us if we allow the process to work. The Apostle Paul to the Romans says, chapter 12 and verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And in the chapter read, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." There is something very different about this soldier who gets his strength from the power of his Lord. That is a good reason for us to fret not, to trust in the Lord, to wait on him. Because of our own strength, we cannot win this battle. We cannot fortify our minds, but with his strength, we can overcome. Paul to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verses 3 to 5, we have the Apostle Paul declaring here Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For if the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. That is the battle we are involved with, not associated with the weapons of warfare, but rather by bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what we are aiming for. The overwhelming strength of a soldier of Christ is a mind that has fought off all rebellion and fleshly thinking. What is the armour all about? Is it protecting our vital organs? Yes, making sure our flesh is protected from head to toe. The purpose of this armour is all about protection, fortification of the mind. This way the flesh can penetrate, it can infect our thinking. It's a mind that thinks spiritually, the mind of Christ. So the Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 and at verse 3, the apostle says, at verse 13, 1 Peter 1 verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we can work. You wouldn't gird up your loins to be idle. The truth prepares us for action. Fighting sin requires us to be active, put our faith into operation. We want minds that are freed from sin so that we can be prepared to do the work of the Lord by being obedient children. The truth is not pure knowledge. It's what we become and how we behave. The breastplate is one of the pieces of the armour, as we have in Ephesians 6 verse 14. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. What was the purpose of the breastplate in the beginning? To be used in the tabernacle. Let us look at Exodus chapter 28. Exodus 28 and at verse 15, where we read Thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it. As the NIV says, thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment, fashion a breastplate for making decisions. That's an interesting phrase. Fashion a breastplate for making decisions. Decisions based on God's perspective and his righteousness, not our own. It's being able to, from the heart, make spiritual decisions with righteousness in mind. When we look at where men and women in Scripture went wrong, how faithful servants of God fell to the flesh, some permanently, some for only a while, it often had to do with bad decisions. Solomon, great wisdom, incredible blessings, but he made some bad decisions which led, so to speak, of the armour coming off. And that allowed progressively one dart after the other to pierce through. Brothers and sisters, that's why the Apostle Paul exhorts us each time we meet around this table to examine ourselves. If we have self-examination working in our life, we will be able to make the correction as quickly as possible. We'll be able to identify the bad decision and see our need for forgiveness. What do we do in order to make right decisions? We turn to the Word of God and listen to His voice. A lamp to my feet, a light to my path. That's why having a breastplate for making decisions in life is so important. It says that our decisions in life will be governed upon the things of God. As we have in the Psalms, Psalm 119. Verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy testimonies, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. We read in verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. So we see very clearly the word of God is a lamp to the feet and a light to the path. That's why having a breastplate for making decisions in life is so important. It says that our decisions in life will be governed upon the things of God. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation means a firm footing, a firm foundation. And that's why the gospel needs to be in our lives. Wherever we go, the gospel of peace is something we take with us. Truly a beautiful contrast to the raging battle that is going on in the world around us. Lord Jesus Christ says, lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. We look in those words in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, without a way of escape, sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin, not actually come to pass, when they begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And those beautiful words in verse 36, which are great comfort and exhortation to us. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. be accounted worthy. That is our hope, to be able to stand in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. Above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of the Roman soldier covered everything. It was the first wave of protection. It was the first contact with the fiery darts. Our shield is our faith. Our acknowledgement that God is in control. That we are soldiers, not because of our own capability, but because of God's strength. What has to occupy our minds constantly is the vision of the kingdom and our salvation. It's a lofty view, a view so many in the world don't have. This is our helmet. So at times when we are down in the battle, we look at the prize, and it's so great. For the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. This view of the kingdom and our thirst for it is a major weapon against sin. Take the sword of the Spirit, a small dagger. Paul to the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4, a verse we do well to always consider. Hebrews 4 and at verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We need to use the Word of God to look inside ourselves, realizing that our Lord sees us with absolute clarity. We remember now our Lord, the source of strength we get as soldiers. He only was the one that was fully clothed with the armor of God. He was girded with truth. He brought peace and comfort. He had knowledge and application of the scriptures, which guided all his thinking. He made right decisions always. When he was tempted to use the sword of the Spirit effectively to prevent him from sinning. Brothers and sisters, we need not fret. If we put on Christ fully and have his mind, then there will be no pollutions of the world that will affect our minds. Thank you.